Processes and tools dominate today's Agile discussions, but we are devoted to the individuals and interactions that make it work. From the beginner to the veteran practitioner, we have something for you. Welcome to Agile for Humans.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Agile for Humans. I'm your host, Ryan Ripley. Joining me today, pretty excited about this. It's an old friend, Dave West. Dave, how are you doing?
I'm good, Ryan. I'm not sure about the old, though.
Old?
I think I'm quite young.
Young? You are a young man.
At heart.
Definitely. So, talking to Dave here in Orlando, Florida, we're at the TechWell Better Software Conference, and a big event happened while we've been here at the conference, Dave.
Yeah. On the 7th, we launched. Well, Jeff and Ken launched an update to the Scrum Guide. The Scrum Guide being the definitive body of knowledge that describes Scrum. It's been updated a few times over the last sort of 10 years that it's been in existence. But yeah, new release of the Scrum Guide happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's exciting. So for the viewers or listeners, depending on whether you're on iTunes or YouTube, if you're not aware, Dave West is the head product owner at Scrum.org and CEO.
Yeah, I'm the product owner and CEO of Scrum.org. So my stakeholders are people like Ken Schwaber. So you can imagine what that's like some days.
But, I'm sure it's amazing to work with Ken.
Oh, it's amazing to work with him, but he's a very opinionated stakeholder.
Oh, really?
No, I know. Surprisingly, yes, he has a... Particularly about this thing called Scrum.
Yeah, he's pretty passionate about that, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
But so this new release, and I think some of the listeners might like some of the inside baseball. And so I'm sure there's some things you can't share, but some things you can. But a question that I have is, what triggers an update to the Scrum Guide? Like, when do Ken and Jeff, like, do they sit down every year and say, things are going all right, let's pass on it? Or what gives them that trigger to go ahead and say, all right, it's time to do some updates?
That's just a really interesting question. So scrumguides.org sits there. It's a website. The Scrum Guide is translated into, I think, 40-something languages. It sits there, and it's about 16 pages. Actually, it's now 19 pages because we added a section at the start. But ultimately, it's a very small, concise document that describes the essence, what is Scrum, you know, the framework, and basically resolves any of these issues with, is this Scrum? Well, it's not in the Scrum Guide. It isn't Scrum. It could be a really good practice. It could be something fabulous, but it's not Scrum. Let's stop talking about it in that way. So part of the Scrum Guide website, scrumguides.org, which is tricky to say, part of the website has a user voice. Now, user voices are mechanisms for capturing feedback from the customer and the like. So we monitor, well, Jeff and Ken monitor it. We provide some technical assistance around this at scrum.org, but ultimately it's Jeff and Ken's site. We just do the work, as it were, with a sort of like the Scrum team, as it were. And we monitor that, and we provide them, you know, lists of what comments are happening. Now, it's quite interesting because ultimately, since Scrum was created, which was 22 years ago, it hasn't changed that much. In its essence, Scrum is a lightweight framework that's inspired by two primary things, you know, lean and empiricism. Really, those two sort of primary sort of the idea of inspection and adaption through transparency, and then the lean thinking of self-organized teams, the continuous improvement. Those two sets of ideas come together, and it doesn't change that much. So what's interesting, though, is that the audience of it over 22 years has changed, right?
Right.
We get that. And their words, how they think of things, the context that they're working in changes. So the majority of the changes to the Scrum Guide, I'd say virtually all of them, are really to improve clarity and to resolve any confusions that the audience has around things. For instance, you know, in this particular release, there was stuff around the Scrum Master. You know, just clarifying the role, just tightening it up so that people don't you know, get these common misconceptions around the Scrum Master or the daily Scrum. One thing, the very important concept in this one was the daily Scrum changed from the three questions being mandatory, which was always a bit odd, right, to, hey, three questions are one way of running a daily Scrum. There's other ways as well. So those sort of, so when we see it on the user voice, or when Ken and Jeff see these continuous, like, well, what about this and what about this? They decide on what changes to make, and they spend probably about 6 months discussing them and talking about clarity. There's an interesting dynamic. So Jeff tends to push very much for more content, more clarification, more details, whereas Ken tends to be pull back, you know, like keep it minimal, keep it, right, you know, keep it as thin and as light as possible. And because of these two different perspectives, you end up with something that's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's really impressive that even over the course of 22 years, Ken and Jeff have managed to keep this just at the 19 pages.
Yeah.
When every other methodology seems to be blowing up and it's 400 or 500, 600 page books just to explain it, I mean, it is quite impressive that the two of them have been able to kind of balance each other out and really keep it still under 20 pages.
And I think that's really, really important, because one thing, the reason why having a short guide is so important, there's two reasons. One is obviously clarity, a focus. But the other thing is that it's a framework that you have, that process emerges. So you take the very prescriptive model that is Scrum, but it's very simple and very easy. And then you add to it all the practices, all the things that you need to build great software in your situation. Now, those things are going to vary. If you're, you know, an SAP implementation, it's going to be very different from if you're building a new website or, you know, building a Tesla car. You know, very different needs on top of the framework. But the framework keeps at the very essence of it.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the Tesla car. One of the major changes to the Scrum Guide as well was the clarification that Scrum is used now outside of software.
Yeah.
And so can you give a little background on how that decision was made and how that, so now Scrum is more than software, it's product, which seems to be the direction that the industry is going, right? Instead of just software projects, we're working on project or products across all industries. Was that a gradual change, or is this something that just recently popped up?
So there's a couple of things. So Jeff and Ken are sort of different points in terms of what they do every day. Ken still talks to customers. Jeff obviously talks to customers a lot, but Ken is spending a lot of time thinking about the future, thinking about, you know, what is the changes to the world. You know, we're seeing fundamental shifts. You know, Thomas Friedman is one of his favorite authors, and he talks about the age of accelerations, you know, the technology coupled with globalization, coupled with changes to the environment. You know, it's fundamentally changing the world. Jeff, on the other hand, is also very passionate about that, but he's very involved with a lot of big customers, you know, companies like Tesla, etc., doing, yes, you know, some transformations, etc. Now, because of that, they both see the importance of being able to work in complex problems, in complex, because that's the reality, complex to chaotic problems. And we, at the heart, Scrum is aimed at that. Now, yes, it did. It was created in response to the problems of software delivery. And because that's always been complex, you know, give me a software project that isn't complex and I'll tell you that somebody's, you know, on drugs or something. Because the reality is they're all blooming complex, whether it's requirements, whether it's technology, whether it's the team, whether it's the environment they're working in, whether it's, you know, there's all sorts of things you just don't know at the start of any software project. But that now applies in lots of situations. Now, some of it is because of technology is sort of dripped into everything. Everything's digital. You know, you buy a marker pen and it's digital because it, you know, you can, it automatically refills, or, you know, you razors, you know, the least digital thing in the world, right? But, you know, if you go onto Gillette, you can now subscribe so that the razor knows when it's running out, and automatically in your door is new razors, which as a bald man, as you, having good razors is very, very important, otherwise you can cut your head. And anyway, don't look at, but the point is that digital obviously is some part of this, but it's more than that. It's the social, you know, the socio-economic changes, the political landscape, everything is changing. So Scrum ultimately provides a great framework for dealing with that. Now Jeff's doing that every day, Ken's talking about it and interested in it, but it wasn't clear in the guide.
Yep.
It was sort of missing. And so we weren't equipping our change agents, which predominantly are scrum masters, but, you know, they're leaders and the organizations they're working in, to actually take Scrum and apply it outside the context of software. We weren't helping them. Yeah, they were doing it. I mean, EduScrum in the Netherlands, for instance. You know, great, famous initiative. The nurses in Belgium are using Scrum. I mean, it's just like this.
The police force in Ghana.
Oh, that's another really interesting story. You know, a lot of people think of Ghana as a very corrupt country. And what's interesting is the police force are, like, taking that issue by the horns, as it were. I don't know if you take corruption by the horns, but, and they're basically bringing in transparency, inspecting and adapting, and are making this totally transparent, citizen-centric use of Scrum.
Yeah.
Now, they're taking the Scrum guide and using it. And it's crazy that they're doing that and we don't help them because we talk about software throughout it.
Right.
Now, we aren't going to change the Scrum Guide. That would be a massive change to make it completely, like, ignore software, etc. But what we did do, or what Ken and Jeff did, and I just helped sort of marshal it a little bit, is that they basically changed, put a section at the start that says, hey, guys, this is where it came from. This is all the uses, millions of different uses are out there possible. And so don't be stupid. You can apply it. You're smart people. And go for it. And that hopefully will provide these change agents, the people that are doing it at Ghana Police or whatever, give them the support for doing the thing that they need to do.
So part of the webinar and the announcement of the Scrum Guide was a discussion around some of the misconceptions.
Mm.
You know, what are some of the misconceptions that that you think, you know, front of mind with Ken, front of mind with Jeff, and just we really need to hammer on and really take care of.
Yeah, it's interesting because some of these came in from the user voice, and and what was interesting is that there was a lot of debate whether to put them into the guide or not. Now, obviously, you can't put every, hey, remember, this is applied in all these different circumstances, because then the guide suddenly turns into 20, 30, 40 pages, and next thing you know, you've got a methodology, which methodologies just don't work in complex situations.
True.
They're great for simple problems, but not good for complex. Now, so what we tried to do in the webinar, and I tried to help Ken and Jeff talk about these things, are some common misconceptions that people were talking about, one of which is continuous delivery.
Right.
You know, very much 22 years ago, continuous delivery was, hey, you got a guy on a bike taking a tape over to the other side of the building.
Right.
Continuously. He never stopped riding that bike. Nowadays, technology's moved on, right? Right.
Yep.
It's much easier to release software. And, you know, we've got looking at lots of vendors that are sitting around us here at this show that do that very thing. A lot of people say that you can't release continuously with Scrum because the sprint review is a phase gate to releasing software.
Well, that's true, right?
No.
Oh, did I just lose my PSD?
You lost your PSD. We're going to have to beat you with sticks.
That's not good.
I'll get one of Ken's special sticks out. The sprint review is an ability to inspect and adapt at the product with stakeholders to allow us to plan what we're going to do next. This allows us to raise issues, to update the backlog, to refine our understanding of the product. I mean, that's what a sprint review is, right?
Right,
Ryan? You know better than I do. You do this every day.
Right. Yeah, it's really just an opportunity to look at what we did at a moment in time, update our product backlog based on what we learned, new market conditions, and then get back to work. And so it's so much more than a demo. It's nowhere near a phase gate. And you know, the fact that there was some misconception there, I think it's frustrating to a lot of people, but I think it's also good that it didn't make it into the guide. Because what I like about this is that we have to think about what we're doing, right? And so when you read the Scrum Guide and you read the description of the sprint review, it doesn't say whether or not you're deploying. It doesn't talk about any. It just says, let's talk about the market, talk about what we learned, update our product backlog, and move into sprint planning with some good ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's so, so important. Because we can't be prescriptive.
Right.
You know, not every organization is doing continuous delivery. Not every organization is using the sprint review to review software that's in production. You know, the Ghana Police Force, very different use of sprint review. You know, I don't know what they're reviewing. Hopefully, something very valuable that's helping solve their crimes, etc. So the point is that the sprint review is not a phase gate to release to production. So that's a common misconception, and people are using it against Scrum to probably promote their own ideas sometimes, but also people just misinterpret. And so we talked a lot about that in the webcast or webinar or whatever it's called. The other thing was, and that sort of led us into DevOps. You know, DevOps is an alternate to Scrum and Agile. No, it's not. It's interestingly, and I think it was Jeff and Ken were talking about a project, Patient Keeper, I think the project was called, a project that they worked on about 20 years ago, 17 years ago. And they were talking about how they moved the operations team, the people that were releasing these Patient Keeper tools to the nurses. That's what the product was. Like little Palm Pilots, I think they were called in those days, to nurses to capture like clinical information as the product. Anyway, so they moved the operation and support organization into the same room as the development team.
Oh, wow.
And literally moved the support, the product, they were downloading, you had to log, interestingly, I think you had to dial in to download the new version and stuff. But they moved all of that and physically moved the wires so they would connect. And Jeff was talking about that and saying, well, that was DevOps, right? We did it 20 years ago or 17 years ago. And the point is that DevOps is in response for the need to deliver valuable software faster, right? It's a set of practices, ideas. All of these are complementary to Scrum and complementary to this continuous loop of inspection and adaption. And it's just disappointing that people can't, and I think, Ryan, you said it well, they can't use their brains and say, okay, let's use, you know, take the Scrum framework, let's add some DevOps practices, let's add some XP practices, let's add some design thinking practices, some UX practices, let's add some Kanban, and let's do it whatever's needed for our team.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I'm getting a new view into Scrum.org now that I'm a professional Scrum trainer, and I think what's impressive is part of the roadmap and the decision that it's Scrum and going forward, right? And so it's Scrum and Kanban, it's Scrum and Lean Startup, it's Scrum and, it's very inclusive, but that's the whole purpose of a framework, right? To be inclusive to all of these great ideas, to allow them to work and play within that framework, ultimately to get valuable software, right?
Exactly, to wow your customers, to deliver value, to change society, to help people, you know, solve cancer, whatever it is. The point is that it has to be and. Now, I have to say that we as a community haven't necessarily been particularly inclusive at times. We've definitely been very, oh, well, you don't know Scrum, you must be an idiot. You know, and, oh, no, that's not Scrum. And it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to get inside your bubble. I think we learn that not just in our work, but in our, you know, our relationships with our friends, etc. Now, we can't afford to do that because we're at an incredibly important time in our society. Software is changing the world. Products are changing the world every day. Our relationships with our customers, with our users, with our stakeholders, the people that provide money and resources for us to do things, is changing. We need to not argue about whether an XP practice, whether a spike can go in a sprint and whether it undermines the sprint goal. We shouldn't be arguing about that. We should be thinking, hey, that's a really interesting idea. How do we make it work? What's the implications? Let's learn as a community. Let's get better and stop arguing and stop throwing stones. Let's not be knocking down bridges, but instead be building them.
Yeah, and that's what I've always appreciated about your leadership and the Scrum.org community. It's let's build up, not tear down. It's professional Scrum.
Exactly.
So that's always been something I've highly appreciated and just want to say thank you for that. Dave, anything else going on at Scrum.org that you want to get in front of the listeners? I know there's a lot of great things that are being thought about and worked on, but...
No, I think... I haven't actually thought it through. But no, a couple of things that I do want to finish with, and I think, Ryan, this is important. I mean, we're not like some holier-than-thou group of people at Scrum.org, you know, trying to do everything right. And I mean, we're just normal people trying to deliver valuable software and change the world. But your point about, you know, my leadership, and this really comes from Ken, and which is, you might not get this. Now, Ken definitely has a passion for what he's done and with Jeff and how he's changed the world. But he also appreciates that ultimately it's about you guys out there doing it every day. And so everything that we do is inspired by you. That sounds like a cheesy logo, so I'm not going to say that ever again. But but you know what I mean? And so we're trying to continue to do that. So you know, you see some of the Scrum and stuff, you know, with respect to Kanban, look on the website and expect to see other things around that coming out. And the other thing is that we try to keep clarity of the guide and try to emphasize those very important principles of inspection and adaption through transparency, the idea of self-organizing teams, the idea of continuous improvement, those very simple ideas. And we spend our entire life trying to help people take those very simple ideas and apply them in very complex, very political, very difficult situations.
Sure.
And you know, we haven't all the answers. I don't think anybody has all the answers, but we can have the great conversations, and our professional Scrum trainer community and our broader forums and the 3.5-4 million people that come to our website every year are having those conversations. And and let's always assume that we respect each other and that we can do that in a positive way. And if we do that, then I think we're going to be in a really good position for the future. I'm really excited about the stuff that's coming out and the future of our industry.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Dave. Just want to thank you again for filling in the audience about the updates to the Scrum Guide, sharing a little bit about scrum.org, and just thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. It's always a pleasure, and thanks for inviting me and spending some time with me.
Thanks for listening to Agile for Humans. Let's keep the conversation going. Drop us a question on Twitter @AgileForHumans or visit agileforhumans.com.